thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Here's one.
Here's John Williams.
Hi, it's me. Mm-mm. 108, we're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. It's warm downtown Chicago. A little bit of milky sunshine, as they call it out there. It's not a real pretty day. I'm looking for some good news in my world. I'll take 80 degrees. But you know, I'm thinking... Sometimes sports is a good way to sort of distract us from the news of the day, but I'm not loving the sports page these days, I'll be honest with you. I mean, literally on the front page of the Chicago Tribune today, Paul Sullivan is asking the question, do the Cubs suck? That's a quote on the front page of my Tribune. I know we're 19-19, but I still think we're going to be in the World Series this year. It's just not going to be as much fun as you remember last year being. Brad Mielke joins us now from ABC. He is with ABC Radio News, and I just want to catch up on some of the news of the day. Brad, thanks for joining us. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You a Yankees fan, Mets fan, Nationals fan?
I actually come from Southern California, beautiful Orange County, so I worked at Angel Stadium at the ballpark when I was in high school. I was hawking peanuts there.
Nice. Nice. So you're an Angels fan?
Yeah, that's right. Go Halos.
Yeah. Now, how's that working out for you? They're in first place right now. What am I talking about?
They're doing Mike Trout just carries them on his fish-like back every day, but he does his best.
It's pretty amazing how good that guy is right now. What, 5 years in? I mean, that's a lot of fun for those fans.
Hey, it's pretty incredible to watch.
Okay, let's talk about the real news of the day, and that is what is going on in Washington, D.C. There's really two major stories here today, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, well, the big story continues to be this idea that there is a memo out there penned by James Comey in the hours after he met with Donald Trump this past February, in which he says Donald Trump all but asked him to make the General Mike Flynn investigation go away. He said, I hope that this will end. And so the fallout continues, especially for Republicans who have shown themselves to be very kind of antsy here. You've seen some call for more information. A lot of them have called for James Comey to testify. And some, a few, are even starting to throw that phrase special prosecutor around, as some of their Democratic colleagues have been doing for weeks.
All because the president said, can you let this go, right? I mean, that's really what this whole thing hangs on, right?
That's right. And there's still, you know, confusion, of course, over exactly what happened, what was said. We still have not seen this memo yet. We've only talked to sources who have read it themselves. And so, you know, we still have yet to get all the details here. And that's what Congress is asking for. There's also this larger question of the saying, I hope you can let this go. Does that equal obstruction of justice, or is that just a president sort of thinking off the top of his head? Because if it is obstruction of justice, then that's when the I word, impeachment, starts getting tossed around by members of Congress, and we're certainly seeing that already from some Democrats.
They were talking about this on another network today. I was watching the CBS Morning News briefly, and they said with Tim Kaine, Hillary Clinton's former running mate, he said, well, just wondering that might not be obstruction of justice, but also firing the director of the FBI then becomes an action. So it's not just him, you know, wishing that Comey weren't in the way and wishing that he were more loyal. He also fires Comey. And so then you really do have a case there.
Well, that's right. And we've heard from some conservative legal scholars who have said, listen, the president has the right to fire whomever he wants. And
sure,
frankly, he has the right to tell the FBI sort of what they should be focusing on, since he's the person who the executive branch oversees the FBI. However, when you're talking about a president who is firing the person who might be investigating him or the people around him, and when he is telling that person what they should and should not lay off of, that gets very serious, at least in the eyes of Congress. But as it always is when you talk about, you know, impeachment or any of these more political grounds, that's a political conversation, not necessarily a legal one. All you have to do is get a majority of House members to agree that something's wrong, and that's when the ball really gets rolling there. And you're sort of seeing Republicans all take a look at each other right now and figure out where to go forward. CBS had said they reached out to 20 Senate Republicans. None of them would go on the show this morning.
I noticed.
You also heard that from Fox News last night. I think
that
gives you a sense of just how nervous Republicans are right now.
Well, John McCain said at a gathering of Republican lawmakers yesterday that it's unconscionable that the president would have hosted those two Russian diplomats, the foreign minister and the ambassador. And as they told it, the crowd of Republicans burst into applause. They agreed with McCain that there's no way that the president should have been hosting those top Russian officials.
Well, and you see some Republicans like John McCain, like Marco Rubio, John Kasich. I mean, these are all sort of familiar names, and they've made a name for themselves in the last several months being critical of the president, Jeff Flake from Arizona. What you have yet to see are you know, Republican leadership members who have been staunchly in the president's corner, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, some of these players who really do control some of the levers of power in Congress. You have yet to see them say, if the president told James Comey to end the Flynn investigation, that would be obstruction of justice, or if he gave classified information to Russian officials, that would show that he was somehow unfit for office. You have yet to see the leadership of the Republican Party bail on him, and that has continued to make this a partisan issue, and that has made President Trump, as we saw in his commencement speech today, really sort of double down and continue to say to his supporters, the media is after me, Democrats are after me, and that puts pressure on these lawmakers because they've got a lot of Trump voters in their districts.
My newsman, Steve Bertrand, is also in on this conversation.
You know, I was surprised the speaker today, not only did he sort of not turn on the president, he seemed to increase his defense of him in some way and even questioned why James Comey didn't reveal this memo back in February. What's your read on where the speaker is specifically here?
Yeah, we've heard this argument from a few people now. Governor Mike Huckabee, former governor from Arkansas and a Trump fan, mentioned this last night as well, was getting quite a bit of traffic in conservative circles. People around the FBI says that doesn't really hold water. This idea that if you're the director at the FBI and the president says something that might be sort of putting pressure on the investigation, that you don't necessarily go out and make that public because that would essentially be weighing in on an ongoing investigation. You would be somehow putting your thumb on the scale on something that your agents have been working on. And you rarely see, as a matter of course, FBI agents or investigators talk about things that are going on with an investigation, good or bad, until the case is shut and until charges are brought. And one of the only times we've seen James Comey weigh in on a case without bringing charges was with Hillary Clinton and her email server. Sure. And we see how that worked out for him. Not a lot of fans for doing that.
I think the president's so used to having it his way from the corporate side, from the real estate side. He must be just flummoxed by the fact that what he is saying is not being adhered to, that there's leaks, and that maybe he actually can't say or do some of the things he wants to say and do. I'll bet he's flabbergasted by all of this.
Yeah, I was saying this yesterday, especially when you talk about the Russia story and sort of the idea that you can, as a president, you can declassify whatever you want, but
right.
It certainly has caused a fury among Democrats and some Republicans, this idea that he might have given classified information away. And Maggie Haberman, who is a New York Times reporter who knows Trump better than anyone, she followed him on the campaign, she's been in the New York political game for a long time, she said, look, this is a president who likes to brag that he's got Shaquille O'Neal's shoe in his office. When you go visit his office in Trump Tower, he wants to show you that shoe. Having classified information is now the thing that he has that he could show off when he's in the Oval Office. And I think there is this sense that the president isn't somebody who likes to compartmentalize information, that he is very much, you know, speaks off the top of his head, and that is what is so endearing to his supporters when he speaks. But it's also very frustrating if then you're told you can say this, but you can't say that. You should be talking to this person, but you can't talk to this person.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you cannot fire this person that is causing you headaches.
Or at least you shouldn't. But to be honest with you, the two stories, what happened in his office with the Russian diplomats gives me more concern. I mean, I think it would be remarkable if his comment to Comey, can't you let this go, would be his undoing. I think that's a small crime compared to the recklessness with which he displayed in the White House with those Russian officials. Honestly, if you said weigh the stories, that's the one that gives me more pause.
Well, and that would be an issue for voters to decide, because that really is simply a political issue. Legally, the president can do that if he wants to. The issue is that, of course, it puts, you know, allies at risk. Perhaps it might put, you know, it might make our law enforcement agencies think that they are less safe and that their sources in the field are less safe. And that is something for voters to deal with come election day. But as for lawmakers, the question is whether all the checks and balances in government are there right now. And that would have to do more with the obstruction charge. But you're right. These are two very serious issues, and they come from two sort of very different areas of thinking here.
Well, Brad, with the straight face, your colleagues asked Sean Spicer yesterday, does the intelligence community sometimes withhold information from the president for fear of how he'll handle it? Think about the implications in that question. They did it with a straight face. He dismissed it. He said, no, that doesn't happen, or I don't know. But I think the very fact that that's a concern for the press corps. Another question they asked, by the way, was, does he read the briefings? Does he know what's going on when he goes into a meeting? Is also stunning just by its implication.
Well, and H.R. McMaster made a point to say as he left the podium yesterday
that
the president didn't necessarily know where all the information
was. How did
was
he
acquired.
Think that was a good thing to say? What point does that possibly score for him, the president, or the American people, that the president actually didn't know where he got that information? Well, it's in his head somehow. Somebody put it there. Did he just make it up and got lucky, or was in fact somebody telling him, or was he reading? That should be a known fact.
What it read like to me was H.R. McMaster saying, listen, the president has America's best interest at heart. The president is doing this appropriate conversation with Russian officials, trying to explain to them intelligence that will affect Russians, but also Americans, and that he was doing it with that in mind, that his motivations did not have to do
no doubt about
compromising
that.
Anyone in the field. I think that's where he was going, but it made you scratch your head and say, shouldn't the president know where our information is coming from, and if it's too sensitive to share?
That's the carelessness that troubles me. That's why the Russian meeting bothers me a lot more than the February 14th meeting with the former FBI director. If he doesn't know where it came from, then maybe he should keep it to himself. I see this guy as somebody who does like to brag a little bit. So his latest Shaquille O'Neal shoe is his super-duper intelligence. Trump's all about superlatives, and you can just see him gushing in front of these Russians. Oh, yeah, we've got the best intel. And I also believe, like you suggested, that he has America's best interest at heart. Of course he does. Does anybody question that? I mean, he may have right up there with his motivations, his own reputation, skin, fortune, hide, whatever. But of course he's trying to do what's best for the country. The thing is, the game's a lot more difficult than he realizes. He's not playing it well.
Well, and you mentioned, this idea that you had the intelligence apparatus sort of working for you. And it really is built that way. For all of this to funnel to the president and for this leader, the civilian elected leader, to be the arbiter of what is made public, what is not, what's classified, what should be shared with allies. And like you mentioned, the idea that perhaps there are law enforcement officials who think, or intelligence officials who think, well, maybe we should not actually show this to the president, but rather some other members of the government for fear of what might get said. That's an issue, I don't think it's necessarily the first time that a president has confronted this. I think people who have always had, Democrats have had a lot of their issues with the intelligence services too. But it does sort of make you think exactly what this president will hear and what he wants to hear. And we've been hearing about potential staff shakeups in the last several days, and it's going to be interesting to see if there are any big-scale changes going forward with these revelations from earlier this week.
One last thing. ABC News correspondent Brad Mielke is on the line. Did you or Steve, did either of you see or hear anything about this meeting that he had with Comey in February? Somebody told me today that at that meeting where he asked for the FBI director to let it go, he actually began it with asking the FBI director if there's any way that you can jail reporters. I'm sorry, I can't find that in print, but is that understood to be the case?
Yeah, that was in the New York Times report, this idea that was part of the memo, that he sort of kicked off the conversation with asking Comey if he agreed with the idea that perhaps reporters should be jailed for publishing the information they get from leakers within the government. And James Comey, I'd be interested to know what he said in the moment, because in public, under oath, he has said it's never been fully legally tested, this idea that reporters could be jailed for that, but he says he would not agree with it, and that it is the tradition of the United States that you don't jail the people who are putting information out there from the government. That's up for government officials and the people of America to decide.
Well, we do have slander and libel laws. And by the way, slander laws work like this, as I understand it. If I said something bad about you or not true about you, if I said something that you did not like and it was not true, that in itself does not constitute slander. The scale is also weighed with Do you have an ability to correct that so that if you have a large enough platform, and John Williams on WGN Radio says the president is left-handed and you're right-handed, or I say something worse and it's not true, do you have a corrective course? And if so, then really, were you harmed or injured by that? And the president has the largest platform, arguably, of any person on earth. So it's really difficult to slander or harm the president that way. I don't know that he knows that, cares that, or appreciates that fact. But the idea that you would jail reporters for doing their due diligence is stunning to me.
Yeah, and there continues to be this kind of debate on leaks, and we're going to continue to see this sort of play out. And you have members of the intelligence community. James Comey was one of them, who said there is a difference between reporters who get information, they weigh it, and they you know, inform the American people with some sense of context and information. And then he said there's groups like WikiLeaks. He called that more intelligence porn, where you just take whatever is out there and you put it in the public realm for the sake of it being public. You don't care what the context is. You don't care necessarily what people get out of it or whether it's helpful, who it embarrasses or endangers. You just put it out there. And Comey, under oath, drew a very distinct line between those two. So I'd be interested to see what he ended up responding, how he responded to the president in that moment.
Appreciate your thoughts today, Brad. It's nice to talk to you. Let's visit again.
Hey, thank you.
Brad Mielke is with ABC News. Incidentally, he referenced the president's speech at the commencement address for the Coast Guard today. It was actually pretty good. It had some, notes from President Roosevelt's Man in the Arena speech. I mean, literally, it sounded like that at points. But he did go off to attack the media, and he was this close to getting it right. You want to hear what the president said in a minute?